I wanna be a billionaire, so f***ing bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shine.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William Lozonik, a professor of economics and director of the University of Massachusetts Center for Industrial Competitiveness. He is the president of the Academic Industry Research Network, and his book, Sustainable Prosperity in the New Economy, Business Organization and High-Tech Employment in the United States, won the 2010 Schumpeter Prize. He has an article at Alternet and the Huffington Post, How American Corporations Transform from Producers to Predators. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Lozonik.
Thanks for talking.
And I've often wondered how, given the financialization of U.S. capitalism and the growing and dominant role of Wall Street in terms of the American economy, how long you could sustain an economy if Wall Street dominates, because Wall Street seems to be about extracting wealth, not creating it. And of course, presumably that was the original idea of investment banking, was to be seed money for to create wealth. What happened to that formula?
Well, yeah, first of all, I think that's true. I think that we're in an economy where a lot of people who are not contributing to the creation of wealth are extracting a lot of the wealth the economy is creating. We still live in a rich economy, and they're able to do this. I would say it's not just Wall Street. I mean, Wall Street is the most visible part of this process, largely because Wall Street has become a gambling casino, and the fact that we don't regulate this as a gambling casino is beyond me and a lot of other people, but that's what it's become. Wall Street wasn't always that way. Wall Street really was, before up until the 1970s, it was much more about investment rather than trading. And it was much more about taking companies and floating their long-term bonds, allowing them to invest in new plant and equipment, new processes, et cetera. And it also did a lot of this same business for the government, allowing them to float debt to pay for roads and things like that. But one of the points I make, or main point that I make in this article and many other things I've written, is that the problem is it's not just Wall Street. This financialization is actually systemic in the industrial corporation, in the very companies that we expect to ultimately produce the goods and services that we consume and that create value. So certainly you need a financial sector to some extent to support that process. It isn't supporting that process. It's now just making money on its own. It's taking money out of that process. But the problem is that way in which the industrial corporations are run is leading to that value extraction as well. And I focus a lot on the way we pay top executives, the amount of money they make. And one of the arguments I make is basically we're paying top executives in this country, in industrial corporations, as well as financial corporations, but I would say really the big problem is in industrial corporations, we're paying them for not doing their jobs. Their jobs are to figure out where the new markets are going to be, where the new technologies, what the new technologies are, how to invest them, how to train people, how to develop people over the course of their careers. And what's happened since the 1980s, and American companies used to do that, but since the 1980s, the top executives of corporations have figured out, how can we get our stock price up? How can we make as much money for ourselves, even if that means laying off lots of people, even if that means ignoring the new technologies in which we need to invest. And we are all paying the price for this, because ultimately, if those companies don't do well, and they make up the bulk of the economy, if they don't do well, then the economy doesn't do well. If the industrial corporations that are in the Fortune 500, quite apart from the financial companies, if they don't invest in the future, and if they don't create lots of good jobs for people who can be very productive and create a higher value-added products that you need to compete in a global economy, then United States cannot remain prosperous, and that's basically what we're seeing. We're seeing a process now that's unfolded for the last three decades where we just get one jobless recovery after another. The people at the top make more and more money, and everybody else gets left behind.
Again, I'm speaking with William Lozonik, who is the director of the Center for Industrial Competitiveness and president of the Academic Industry Research Network. He has an article at Huffington Post and the Alternet, How American Corporations Transform from Producers to Predators. So given that the financialization of the economy began in the 1960s and now it seems to be totally captured American capitalism, and as you say, executives now base their decisions on increasing corporate earnings for the sake of jacking up corporate stock prices and maximizing shareholder value. But the purpose of this, of course, seems to be feeding the 1%. Not only do these executives, and now a lot of them are sitting on piles of cash and buying back their stock to boost their so-called shareholder value and make more money for themselves, but they're sort of basically sitting idle in many ways and not helping us get out of this recession. But at the end of the day, you're rewarding shareholders and CEOs. And that seems to me to be that's what's happened to America, that the 1% have figured out a way to basically have everything trickle down into their pockets.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, shareholders is a much broader category.
Sure.
But I'd say, in the 80s and 90s, if you held stock, you were going to make money. There was the longest boom in U.S. stock market history. If you take the S&P 500, it's about 75% of the market capitalization of stocks in the United States. The big companies, they had about a 12% on average, 12% per annum growth in stock price yields in the 80s and 15% in the 90s. Now, that there was a certain amount of innovation involved in that. We had the microelectronics revolution, the Internet, and to some extent that drove it. But then there's a lot of speculation that kicked in on top of that. But the additional thing is that there's a lot of manipulation on the market. And you mentioned one of the things that I talk about a lot, stock buybacks, which for the last decade for those companies, those 500 companies, have been about $3 trillion. And that's just wasted money. Now, that's money that's in these corporations, which are vast repositories historically accumulated of productive capability. And if you let that go, that decline, even if you lay off people in their 40s and you don't use their human capital, there's a real cost to that. You can't recover that. And you just can't replace it. You can't just throw the money out there on the markets and hope it all comes back and creates the next GE or the next Exxon or Mobil, et cetera. It just doesn't happen. You can't even do that with the next Google. I mean, once it's there, and if they don't know, that company does actually still innovate. They still spend their money. They're very young. But if you don't have a lot of companies doing that, you're in big trouble. And that's basically what's happened. And there's an ideology that supports this, that what you're doing is maximizing shareholder value. But what you're actually doing is maximizing the power and the wealth of the people at the top. Because if you look at stock prices over the last decade, despite this huge increase in the amount of buybacks, it was going on in the 90s at a lower level, but still a fairly high level, hardly much less in the 80s and not at all in the 70s, hardly. If you look at what's happened to stock prices, well, you're not doing that much better. A lot of the market's volatile, and a lot of people are making money who are insiders on the volatility. But all of us, even if we're holding stock, we're not making money. Partly because the one thing that drives stock prices that can keep them up in the long run is productivity, or what we might call innovation, and there's just less and less of that happening. A lot of that for American companies is going on abroad. In China, American companies are making huge amounts of money and contributing to the growth of the Chinese economy. But rather than take that money and bring it back here and create even better jobs here, they're coming back. They're using the money to, first of all, they're keeping most of that money abroad because we have some crazy tax rules that allow them to do this, encourage them to do this. But even the money they have here, they're not They're not using the fact that they're profitable to invest in the technologies of the future and to train people. And everybody, they then say, oh, we don't have enough workers, we don't have enough trained workers. They look to the government to do this. Well, the government always has had a role to do this, but the government can't do it if these large business corporations don't do it themselves. These have to be complementary investments, and we used to have that, and we don't really have it anymore.
Well, it seems, though, that what's going on here is that the wealthy are able to use the Wall Street casino because they have the money to pay the entry fee, and that the Wall Street casino takes the money that the wealthy have and gives them higher yields than they get anywhere else. But these yields have nothing to do with productivity. They're just to do with money manipulation. And this has led to the growth of these hedge funds and, by extension, the hedge fund billionaires. So you have these two classes. You have the investor class that sits around maximizing their money, and then you have the manipulating class who manipulate the money and take huge fees for themselves. And I think there's nothing more, I think, outrageous in the current context, William Lozonik, than the fact that Wall Street is running up the price of gasoline completely and absolutely no contribution to the society except hurting the average working and middle-class person every time they go to the pump. Absolutely, slowing down the recovery. It's criminal, and yet nobody can do a damn thing about it. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I think this is what you find is that when you have these markets out there, they're not free markets. They're markets, and powerful actors can go and they can make money off them. Now, in the case of the gas prices, oil prices, I mean, yeah, they have orchestrated a run up in prices. They're making money by all the speculation on the fees and on the bets, and they'll try not to lose money when it turns down, and a lot of them will sell short and make money. Some will lose, some will gain. Meanwhile, in a way, as far as that is concerned, we're kind of the dupes because we give them our money to play around with.
You mean in the form of pension funds and stuff?
Well, in the pension funds, yeah. But really, the way this has to be dealt with, just like the way with the CEO pay of these industrial companies has to be dealt with, is by legislation that says you cannot make money this way. So to CEOs who are making most of their money by exercising stock options, other types of stock grants they get, the stock price goes up, they sell the stock, they make lots of money. The way in which you can regulate that is so that you cannot make money from the company you're running if all the people who are productive in that company and the government who is helping support you with roads and all kinds of infrastructure and higher education, et cetera, unless they get their share as well. And what we've done is we've said, and this is where the shareholder value ideology comes in, it just says to those people at the top, you can take as much as you want as long as you can get your stock price up. And in the end, actually, they're not even getting the stock price up over the long run. Because once you start trying to manipulate it, as they've done over the last decade with stock buybacks, it's going to go up, and then it's going to come down, and then you're just going to have to manipulate it all over again. Obviously, it's something we don't want to have go on, but nobody really in Congress is pushing for any legislation about this, just as they're not really, even after the financial crisis and what's happened in the housing sector, and we can see this oil, no one's really pushing. There are some Democrats, I guess they've had hearings on the oil prices, but it's very difficult because everybody is kind of imbibed this ideology of the markets. Whatever the markets do, it must be supply and demand. There's no way to manipulate markets. That's what economists teach all the time. That's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. And as long as people believe that, we'll pay the price and the rich will get richer.
Well, also the biggest and most powerful lobby on Capitol Hill is at the financial lobby. And
of course,
clearly
And one of the things I say when people say corporations lobby Congress, I say it's not corporations lobbying Congress, because if you take a company like IBM, and they have about 450,000 people worldwide, maybe, and now about 120,000 and 130 in the United States. But whatever, all those 130, they're not the people lobbying Congress. It's the people at the top, and often most of the people in corporations, they're wondering whether they're going to have their job next year. So it is a group of powerful people. They change over time. They're not always the same people, but they give the money and they buy the politicians, and no one is really confronting these systemic problems that we're facing.
Well, your suggestions are, one, ban large established companies from buying back their own stock and reward them instead for investing in the retention and training of their employees. Link executive pay to the productive performance of the company, with increases in executive pay being tied to increases for the corporate labor force as a whole, and occupy it. Recognize that taxpayer and workers bear a significant proportion of the risk of corporate investment, and put their representatives on boards where they can have input into relations between risks and rewards. Of course, the Germans do that by law. William, I thank you so much for your article. I highly recommend it, and we should talk again.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Again, I've been speaking with William Lozonik, who's a professor of economics and director of the University of Massachusetts Center for Industrial Competitiveness. He is president of the Academic Industry Research Network, and he has an article at Alternet and the Huffington Post, How American Corporations Transform from Producers to Predators. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.